Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Ciao, everybody, and welcome to Living Villa Capelli. This is Stephen. This is me again giving you a little bit of an intro since we're going to be continuing part two of our interview with John and Angela. In this interview, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about our trip down south to Gallipoli and Lecce. And then we're going to be talking about their first trip here a few years ago when we did a little bit of family research with them. And on that note, I thought I'd give you guys a little bit of some actionable content slash advice on if you want to do your own little family research and heritage. And I'll give you a little bit of advice before we start the podcast. And then I'll give you some very specific websites to visit at the very end of the show. And just so you know, all this information will be in the show notes. I've been really bad about telling you where these show notes live, but they are living at livingvillacapelli.com/9. So living, Villa, V-I-L-L-A, Capelli, C-A-P-P-E-L-L-I.com/9, the number 9. And you'll find all the notes there. So, and all the links and that kind of stuff. So you don't really need to be taking notes during the podcast. If you need something later, just go look it up. Before we get into that content, I wanted to again thank everybody so much for, you know, leaving ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. That really does help. I'll give a good little shout out to some of our fans here. I really appreciate it. There is a Florida Aggie, Barbara Eaton. Let's see, Bull 3032. And finally, Ruel. Ruel's a little friend of ours from online. Actually, he does shots of our olive oil. So we appreciate that, Ruel. And he writes, thank you for sharing, nourishing, educating, and entertaining. So thank you so much. We appreciate these review guys. And they really do help us go up in the rankings in iTunes. Just so you guys know, with your help, we actually were in number 2 in 3 categories last week in education, society and culture, and arts. So that was really amazing. We really, really appreciate it. So keep it coming. And please, again, don't hesitate to spread the word to family and friends. You know, this podcasting thing is kind of new, so I know a lot of people don't necessarily even know what a podcast is, but if I think a lot of people would enjoy the show. So, you know, if you can help us, anybody you know that might enjoy it, please let them know about it and spread the word. And we can all have some fun together here learning all about this Italian stuff. So the little content here, you know, if you're looking to research your own Italian heritage, which is what we get into during the podcast, John and Angela and us will get into a little bit specifics of what you can do if you're coming here to research. But I want to give you maybe a little bit of a preamble here and what you can do if you're just starting out. 4 steps here. First and foremost, use your family as your first and foremost resource. So sit down with your grandparents, your parents, uncles, aunts, anybody else you might know your family history, and you know, start getting the names, the birth dates, the marriages, all that specific information you have. And I'm sure probably some family member somewhere probably has already done this research. So you can use their work as your starting base. It's great that way. And but, you know, that they're your first and foremost resource. So sit down with them and get that. And the second point, which I think is actually the most important, is, you know, while you get these dates and all that stuff is great, but make sure you get the stories. You know, all this information doesn't really necessarily come to life unless you have a story behind it. So, you know, next time you're at that family get-together, pull out your phone and record your family, you know, talking about their stories, their memories of their parents and their grandparents. You know, maybe you can use a photo album to jog their memories a little bit and, you know, bring up stories you've never even heard. And to me, that's the most exciting and rewarding part of the genealogical study. You know, you want the history behind just the dates and the names. The third point here is, you know, once you get to that point, you probably want to actually get a copy of the documents. So that's, you know, getting a copy of the actual birth certificates, death certificates, that kind of stuff. I know some of these sites that we'll get into, like Ancestry.com, actually has some of those that, you know, you can pull in, scan from other sources. And I know there are probably other sources as well. If you're coming here, we'll get into that in the podcast about what kind of copies and what kind of stuff you'll need to get photocopies of that stuff here in Italy. But you'll probably want to start, you know, gathering that kind of stuff to kind of create the whole story of your history here and get, you know, make sure you have all the documents. And last but not least, you want to put it down on paper. So I know there are actually some software programs out there that help you do this, you know, create your family tree and create a story. But call me old school. I mean, I think it would be great if you create like a photo album notebook. You start putting this in. To me, that really helps you tell the story and share this with family and friends. There's nothing like flipping through that book and seeing the memories and seeing the stories and seeing the documents. So those are our four little tips here to get us started. And without further ado, you'll hear the podcast. It kind of like just starts abruptly in the middle of a conversation, but you guys will catch on. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy this kind of stuff, let us know, because at info@villacapelli.com, and we'll do some more interviews with guests later this summer as the season has started. And if you don't like it, let us know, so we won't do too much more of these. Either way, please, we'd love to hear from you. And without further ado, here is the podcast.
Okay, so you can go way south. You can go way north.
Yeah.
We went the other day also, you know, Avellino for the family things and stuff. You know, that's...
And it went to Basilicata.
Basilicata, yeah. Beautiful country.
But that down there... Gallipoli.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that was cool.
The towers, which were right. Very much lookout towers from Norman.
I guess the Normans. Normans, yeah.
Normans,
yeah.
Us, and it was just.
And then from there we went to Porto Cesario, which was a cute town and had a bank, so Angela could get money.
What was the what was the place where the villa was?
That was the coolest place. Porto Selvaggio. Porto Selvaggio is like this really, really cool beach that you have to walk through the woods to get to. Totally isolated with another Norman tower.
That was unbelievable. Yeah. Almost like the Blue Grottos, the grotto of Capri there. Without the people.
Yeah, exactly.
The people. Great place. That would be a... Just think about it. If you don't...
A great little
packing
picnic
Packing something
place.
Heavy, like a heavy lunch and wine... And stay there all day and leave, mm-hmm. you know, and just leave with empty, you know.
But because the good thing about the Ionian Sea is that the sun sets over that, so that you have a longer day.
You see the water there.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
You know, in that.
We'll describe the hike. So first off, we stop at a. I'm over here making more drinks, but I'm under the mic. But you
please do make more drinks.
So basically, you stop on this over... I don't know, how did you find them? How did you know where to go for that place?
Porto Selvaggio?
Yeah.
I asked people.
Yeah. And so we stopped this place, and we...
He stumbled upon it. He's lying.
And we're like, oh, it looks like a short little hike. That's like, oh, this will be fine. Well, the beach is probably right over this ridge.
Well, it wasn't that bad. Hold on now.
It's about a mile down. A mile.
It was a 10-minute walk.
The first little ridge, it looks like it's just over the ridge.
But it looks closer than it is.
Yeah, then you're like, it's not. But I will say, the hike is beautiful itself. I mean, the path is like gorgeous.
No. It's a 10-minute walk downhill through a pine forest.
Easy for you to say. I had the flip flops on.
So did I.
Make sure you're wearing sneakers, like I told people.
No, you know, we had flip flops on. It was fine. Then from Porto Selvaggio, we went to Gallipoli. From there,
we had lunch there.
We had lunch at Gallipoli on the port, which is also very nice. And we had a great lunch, great food, and it wasn't expensive. But then I heard from other friends that if you go in August, you pay like three times as much. So we went perfect time of the year because it's very warm out right now, even though it's not even summer yet. Then from Gallipoli, we drove to Lecce. Lecce, the first time I went to, I didn't like it at all because it's a very Baroque city. Baroque, not broke. And I'm not big on Baroque architecture, but I actually liked it a lot more this time. It's a well-kept, big city,
clean.
Beautiful tree-lined streets, clean. And the old town was pretty cool. I mean, it's big. We drove all the way back to...
Yeah.
Terlizzi.
But that ain't bad.
Is that a drink pour on
here? Yes, that's what you hear the sound.
But the thing about almost every town you go to, if you like the history part, you're going to get the castles, you're going to get the churches. Mm-hmm. And it's so much the history behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what.
Like, but hey, let's not forget one of the other coolest towns that we went to see a few days ago, Bovino.
Bovino was fabulous.
Bovino was blow away.
Blow away for a little town.
And Bovino has been voted one of the top towns in Italy to visit. And it's actually been voted number 5 of all the towns in Italy. Number 5.
That was cool. It's
pretty amazing. The museum there was great.
And it's a small town. It ain't
very
really,
small.
It ain't
tiny.
It's
a borgo, a burg.
A burg, whatever we call it. But it was a nice little town.
Well, we've been to all the big places: Venice, Sorrento, Rome,
Florence.
We've been at Naples, Pompeii. Sicily.
Not once, a couple of times,
and this is the second time back to Puglia, and I'd come back
again.
A fifth time, yeah. Because
and
there's so much to see here.
Well, it's just because we weren't used to doing the ones that are close to us, closer, so that's what we did with these guys last time, with the family.
So we actually got to explore new places.
Yeah,
undiscovered Puglia.
I mean, yesterday was like blow away for Paul and I. Thing, because we had no idea, A, that the Gargano was so convenient, and that it was so freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just glorious.
This is the real deal.
it was just like
compared to the cities.
Angela kept walking through going like, okay, when you see this town, this is what you think of when you think of Italy. I mean, these staircases.
Oh, how did I word it? I know,
down,
I said this is, this, they call it quintessential New England.
Yeah.
The staircases and the laundry hanging out, the flowers, is just quintessential Italy.
You
don't see anywhere else.
We have to tell people that when you come to Puglia, Puglia is like the place that you think about in your mind when you think about Italy.
Right.
Because, you know, Rome is beautiful, Florence is beautiful.
You have to see it all.
Yes.
But this is it.
Yeah. Without all the tourists.
Without all the tourists, right. So don't come. Don't come. We don't want any more tourists here.
If you come, you have to make sure you stay with us. Because we might do a two-part. I don't know if I'm going to do a two-part on this one or if we're just going to do an extra long episode. But, so we'll keep talking because I want to talk about these guys, too, a little bit about their first trip here, which was a lot of fun for us. And they were kind of an inspiration for a lot of others. We've done this with several people, which is kind of a heritage tour / services.
Right.
Because, you know, these guys came here last time with, they had researched their family history, and they had specific towns they wanted to go through to, you know, get records, marriage records, birth certificates from certain towns. So we went with them to these towns, and it was so much fun. I had such a blast.
You know what I get out of that first one? I got my grandfather's birth certificate. My great-grandfather's birth certificate, my great-great-grandfather's birth certificate. This time I got my great-grandmother's. I found out who her, that would be my great-great-grandfather's, his name, his occupation. When you start putting this together, and it, you just have to start off with a place to go because they keep great records.
Sorry, what's the one that's the big...
Ancestry?
Did you just start out doing that?
Yeah, we did.
Because you get stuck, right? They don't
kind of get stuck, but I mean,
they
I
use
knew
everything
my
in Italy. They say just Italy. They don't go
They don't tell
Italy.
You where.
That's why I got stuck because mine went only back so far, and he goes, okay, now they came over from Germany, done.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, okay.
I'm having a hard time with the Irish side, but...
We won't talk about the Irish side.
We don't talk about the... the Italian side, once I found out... where my grandfather came from, because when you get naturalized, you got the town. They keep great records.
And you can't, but you can't go there unless you have someone like Paul who speaks Italian, because you would just be...
But not only speaks Italian, thank you very much, But you got to schmooze them.
You got to schmooze them.
You
got to
know how to work them. Well, you got to know how to work them.
He has schmoozed some stregas. Look up the word strega.
That's true.
But, you know, there were, like, you go to, like, Angela's just got a great grandfather's birth certificate.
And it was
and the guy is an asshole.
The guy giving it or her grandkids?
No, the guy giving it.
The guy giving it because, you know, some
Paul
people.
Schmoozed him.
Now, you go to my family's town.
Bonito.
And the woman was a sweetheart. You got a charm.
She was a little grouchy this time.
A little grouchy, but
she's
at
a sourpuss, but
at the end.
Facha de la
Mone. She gave us...
But I stroked her. I stroked her.
Yeah, that's right, because anything, you know, a little charm goes a long way. And I think you get it, if you put a little effort into it, you'll get so much out of it. If you're into the
last time, all your families. No, actually, we had a good one, because when we went to one with you when I was there. And the records, first off, her family was, it said the records were on page 25 and whatever page it was. And it wasn't on 25. It was actually like 45. So they looked through the book. They're in there and John and I are in the lobby like, what the hell are they doing?
They're
looking at this book like front to back. They finally find the record she wanted. And the woman was like, Angela just wanted a copy of it.
So what happened this time, and it was good information for us to have, because we went in there knowing that there's this issue about having a copy made, because the first time they went to, the guy wouldn't make a copy of it because it's like, you know, privacy laws, all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
So this time we were working with one of the clerks, and he brought out all these old books from the 1800s, and we saw all the certificates, and we said, Can you make a photocopy for us?
Yeah.
Knowing full well that he was going to say no. His boss was there, this woman. The sourpuss woman, who actually turned out to be nice. And she said, oh, yeah, there's no problem. They're more than 70 years old. So now we know that if they're more than 70 years old.
The records are more than 70.
Yes.
Right, you can do it. Okay. We knew that the day before, because when we went to my great-grandfather's this time, the guy would not make us a copy of it, although he did make me an official birth certificate, and he did write down the names of my great-grandparents' parents.
That would be great,
great information, make a copy of it. And I wish we could have said that to him, but I think you walk in a fine line in these places when you're looking for the help.
No, it's,
they could just tell you to get
one. But what I should do for you people and for anyone else who wants to come in here and do that is I should get that paragraph of the law in the book that says exactly if a document is more than 70 years old or whatever it is, you can make a copy of it. So when someone says, no, I can't do it, I say, oh, yeah, here's the law.
There's nothing like having that original.
I think they get it.
Yeah, because it's cool because you want to frame
it.
Because it's
in a book and it's handwritten.
But the whole thing was an adventure, too. Last time, we went to the second town, which I don't remember what relative it was with yours. And then it's like, oh, well, so-and-so, your cousin is blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and they got on the phone. And blah, blah,
well,
and
actually, talking. That was the town we went to where Paul said to them in Italian, she's from America looking for her grandparents' information. And he said, come si chiamo? What's their name?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Capodilupo and Fabiano. And the two guys in the town hall said, I'm a Capodilupo, I'm a Fabiano.
That's a kick in the ass.
Next thing you know, they were getting the relatives.
The relatives showed up at the front door. 5 minutes later.
No, but also, even the other day, as soon as you start dropping those last names in these small towns where there's a lot of people with those same last names, all of a sudden they start escorting you through the town.
My dad's town. Yeah, my dad's grandparents.
Now, if you look at that town where her great-grandfather came from, what's the name? Cusano?
Cusano San Domenico.
Okay. If I ever walked off that hill, I would never walk back up.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is like straight up. Oh. That, and there's a mountain that towers over that town.
We figured out that in the early 1900s, when the people that lived in these hill towns, like a place in Avellino, which is near Naples, when they walked down that hill for the first time, you know, even just for a stroll, And then they looked back up the hill and they said, I'm not walking back up that hill. I'm going to America. They got the first bus and they went to Naples. They got in a boat and went to America.
That was just
so
like,
that's why all these people are now.
I'll tell you, the Angela's grandfather's, great grandfather's town, it's like the town. It's a small town.
Okay.
You know, Paul was talking to a guy at the store. And then they're talking to the mailman. Then you're talking to, guy takes him down. He knows the mailman. They start talking to the mailman. And they start talking to each other.
Because the mailman knows where everybody
lives.
Knows
everybody lives. Exactly. And it's like that one step to the next guy. Yeah. One step
well,
to the next guy.
Well, we need to come back because...
Now that I know I got a great... You know what they said? I think Paul asked... See, here's the thing. You learn... Paul asked the guy how far back the books in my grandfather's town. And he goes back to 1809. Now, I got to do a little bit more research, but I've already got a certain amount of, like, my great
Yes, but you have to realize that the books in the, here it's called the anagrafe, which is like the registry.
Yeah, yeah.
So their records go back, most anagrafe offices, registry offices in these towns, will go back to the beginning of the 1800s.
Right.
Anything before that, there are still records, except that they are then given to the church for some reason. The church has them.
Right.
And then the older ones.
The church has everything.
Right. Then the older ones, when you start going like the 1500s and 1400s, you have to go to these sort of capital centers, like for Puglia, believe it or not, you can either go to Trani or Barletta or Bari, but even then you only find limited stuff because then the even earlier stuff goes to Naples. So then you got to take a trip to Naples if you want to find out something from like the 1300s.
Scary.
Yeah, exactly.
That's scary.
Because you got to bring a lot of cash.
Yeah. think about it. When the guy said, like in my little town there, and that's a small town.
Yeah.
They have it back to 1809. Just think if you could find your family back to 1809.
Yeah.
And you do this because, like, what did that Italian guy tell us? You do this for your kids, you do this for your family, because as people die off, they forget this people came, and it's a...
For any of you that are doing any family history, I'm sure that a lot of you already know this, but for those of you who don't know this, having your grandparents' names, especially on the mother's side, the grandmother or the mother... in the States, the women take their husband's name. And that's how we lose track of people in the United States.
Right.
Even on simple, frivolous things like Facebook. If a friend of yours from high school, you're trying to track her down, you can't track her down if you don't know who she married.
Right.
Because they take their husband's name. In Italy, it's basically against the law unless you legally have your name changed to your husband's name. But it happens very infrequently. So you have to know the maiden name of your grandmother, great-grandmother, and all these other people because, and the same thing goes with, I think we've talked about on another show, that there's no such thing as a junior. You can't name your son after yourself.
Yeah,
it has to skip a generation.
Yeah, grandfather, something
right.
like that.
And that's also
and it's important to have the date of birth, the date of death,
yes.
the yeah. marriage date,
right.
because everything in those books.
But we do it.
Because it happened.
Everything in those books because is it, by year.
Because the same thing happened in Chiusano the other day, where you go and ask people who, in a town where there were a lot of families with the same last name, and you'll say, my grandfather's name was, what was your
Sarno.
Grandfather's
Sarno.
No,
Sarno.
First,
Marino.
His first Marino.
Marino.
So even by the first name, because the first names skip a generation on the male side, so we went to talk to a guy in a store whose last name was Sarno, and Angela said to him, "My grandfather or great grandfather's name was Marino," and he said, "No, there are no Marinos, no
right.
first name Marino in the family."
Right.
So it's all traced by not only the last name,
but the first name.
Because usually the The first grandson is named after the grandfather.
Right. Yeah. Right. So in my case, my great-grandfather was Marino Sano from Cusano, San Domenico. And then his son was Michelangelo, which is my grandfather. And then my father was Marino Sano.
Yeah.
So this was my father's namesake.
It's just, it works.
I was looking for.
And it works that way because my grandfather was the... He named his first male after his father, grandfather, right? So it'd be Paul,
yeah.
And then Anthony. It's right. Always like that.
And there are also traps that you fall into very easily when you look up your grandparents who have moved, who had moved to the States, and they somehow, for whatever reason, change their first name.
I mean, sometimes
like it happened to you, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Lanza, it's Lanz. They dropped the letter.
But it was also. Even your grandmother with the first name.
Oh,
she was actually Nicoletta.
Yeah.
Nicoletta. But on the book registry or whatever, she was Maria.
She Marie. Oh. I think that was
they called her Maria.
Oh, they called her Maria.
On the book register, it was Nicoletta.
Nicoletta. So you went through your whole life thinking that your
name was
Maria,
but her
actually was Nicoletta.
You gotta watch stuff like because there's so much to it, and all you want to do is just go back. If you can go back one or two generations at a time, you're jumping 150 years.
I have an uncle who was in California, and he was born in Italy, Vito Tempesta. Going through, I think, Ancestry.com or the Ellis Island website,
mm-hmm.
Going through the registries, the boat manifests,
mm-hmm.
I find my grandfather, Gioacchino, who was traveling with his children for the second time, coming back from Italy to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and his son's name, all of a sudden, is William. Like, who's this William Tempesta?
Where they find him?
Yeah. But what he did was Vito had changed his name to William because he didn't want to be so Italian.
Let's face it, it was all about work and getting a job and stuff like that. It's like we were talking about it early in the week that, my mother, the only Italian she spoke... her grandmother, because her father said, "Don't talk to her in English."
Yeah.
Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't speak English.
Talk Italian. Talk English.
You have to learn it.
You got to get a job. Yeah. You got to go out there. But my mother learned all her Italian from this Nicoletta.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where she, little grandmother. That's where she learned her Italian from. And these are life stories that people are really, really don't get.
Which for me, the interesting part as an outsider, just seeing the, I had fun being a part of the adventure of finding these people. Again, Angela's cousins show up, and all of a sudden, Angela's in the cousin with, the, and she's taking off. Oh,
in the car with my nose pressed against the window, on a milk cart,
yes.
And thinking I'll never see you again.
And we're trying to follow them, and of course, she's racing through this town, and we totally lose them. We're like... okay, Angela's gone. We lost her. We don't know where she is. We're in this little town. Her cousin just took off with her in the car. We have no idea where they are. We're like...
speaking Italian, and I had no idea what she was saying.
Luckily, we found them. We had coffee for good 45 minutes.
They called America to say we were there.
Yeah.
And the best part was, they called your mother's name.
They called my mother to say that we were there.
That was wild.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Tell her your daughter's here.
You keep up with them on Facebook? Italians are big on Facebook.
Yeah.
Actually, you guys just had a friend who's come, literally this week, to meet a cousin in Sicily.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in Sicily now.
And they he got there and they had the American flag.
Flying outside
of their house. They are
Vinny should have been born. He should have been born here because he likes to do his wine. He likes to his garden. He just makes his cheese.
Yeah, he has some awesome faces on pictures on Facebook.
And he's
gone on an Italian boat fishing today.
Which is also why on Facebook I started this page. Terlizzi USA, where people who know...
Hey guys, forgive that quick ending. The interview was over pretty much and my recorder went out, but that was pretty much the end of the interview. So the site Paul was just talking about is called Terlizzi USA. It's a Facebook group that he actually started on Facebook, and it has a site where all the descendants of the nearest town to the villa, which is Terlizzi, all the descendants from that town that live in the States now can join that group and post pictures and memories and that kind of stuff and reconnect. So it's kind of a cool little site. And there are other sites and other groups on Facebook, I should say, that also do similar thing. There's one called Genealogy, Italian Genealogy. I think there's Southern Italian Genealogy. So if you look for those groups, those can also be nice resources. Along with these resources I'm about to get into, which are very specific genealogical sites. So once you get into, you know, a little bit more specific, looking for names and dates, and you have that, this might help you find even more distant cousins and that kind of stuff, these kind of sites. These first three are very specific to the Italian heritage. And in full disclosure, neither one of us have used these sites, so I can't speak to how good or bad they are, but this was the looked like a nice resource for if you're looking for specifically for Italian heritage. They are ItalianGenealogy.com, ItalianAncestry.com, and MyItalianFamily.com. And I will say, in the MyItalianFamily.com, looked like you could hire experts to help you out if you got stuck, which was kind of an interesting extra service. So if you are stuck or something, that might be something you can use. These next sites are general genealogical sites, so not specific to Italian. They are FamilySearch.org. That's the big, extensive Mormon database. There's Ancestry.com, Genealogy.com, and LibertyEllisFoundation.org. Two quick notes. Obviously, on the LibertyEllisFoundation.org, that's just going to cover any immigrants who came through Ellis Island. You know, so if any other, especially the Italian immigrants, probably came through other port towns like Boston, Philadelphia, New Orleans. So, you know, if they didn't come through Ellis Island, you wouldn't be covered there. And I will say Ancestry.com, we both have used that site. My only slight problem was it only covers the history in America. So once your ancestors basically have come over, you couldn't go back to the old country and research any older ancestors or older documents in the old country. At least that was my experience when I was on it a while back. So it might have changed, you know. So that being said, if anybody else has any other resources you'd like, you know, or you've had really great success with, please let us know. Send us an email at info@villacapelli.com, or, you know, write something in the show notes. We'd all love to hear other sources that would help people. We know we really appreciate that. And on that same note, please, you know, if there's anything you guys want to hear more about or you'd like, don't like about the show, please let us know. You can always email us at info@villacapelli.com. You can find us on all the social media outlets like Facebook, Instagram, all those good places, all with Villa Capelli. And again, just please, we ask you, help us spread the word. You know, there's a lot of people out there that we think would like the show that maybe haven't heard about us yet. So don't be afraid to tell family and friends about us and help us, you know, let everybody know that life can be a little better when you put a little Italian into it. Until next time, arrivederci.